This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Lulu Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Love on the Rocks, A Positano Tale. And joining me from California is author Katie Costa. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning.
Good to visit with you. I want to ask a question about A Positano Tale. My listeners may or may not be familiar with what that represents. Is that the name of a detective, perhaps?
Oh, I'm sorry, what? A detective?
the name Positano. It sounds like it could be the name of a detective. It's not, though, is it?
Well, no. There's a lot of mystery, I guess, to the two characters who are visiting Positano, but it's not a detective tale.
So Positano is actually a location.
It is, yes. It's on the Amalfi Coast in Italy.
In Italy. And how did you become familiar with the Positano area in Italy?
I had traveled there quite a few times with friends over summer vacation, and then one summer one of my really good friends that I've known since high school, we decided to rent an apartment there and spend a good part of the summer living there.
Then what usually happens in Europe and in Italy, at least emotionally, is that you get attached either to the country or to the atmosphere, and perhaps romance ensues. Is that what this story is about?
Yeah, I think so. I think the two characters kind of were looking for a getaway from kind of humdrum social lives and different dilemmas that they had going on at home, and Italy just seemed like the perfect kind of escape for them. There was some romance. I mean, they met some people and actually made friends, and it was just kind of, you know, getting into a new culture, and it was something different than the American culture that they were from, which made it all the more intriguing.
It's absolutely a gorgeous area. And again, my question at the front end was just to get the listeners' attention that this is a special area in Italy. Share with my listeners your impression geographically, and what would they see if they went to Positano?
Well, it's this amazing town that's built into the side of a cliff, really, overlooking the Tyrrhenian Sea. And it is just beautiful. I mean, it really is enchanting. And it's a town filled with staircases and alleyways and pastel-colored buildings. And it's just beautiful. The water's beautiful. And it's just, once you go there, you are just kind of mesmerized by the beauty of it.
Any uniqueness to the culture or the people of Positano?
They're all very, very friendly. But I found that, you know, all over my traveling in Italy, the people are wonderful and very open to, you know, tourists, because a lot of times that's their livelihood. But just really friendly and welcoming and inviting.
Katie, you have written 468 pages. I will mention for my listeners that you are also an educator. That would give you a little bit of time, perhaps, to embark on a writing career. When did this book begin as far as the outline and the story, and how long did it take to complete?
Oh, my goodness. I started it about 9 years ago.
Okay.
It didn't take me 9 years to write. It took me about 3 years once I got started, because with working, it's hard to carve out time when you're teaching. So a lot of my writing was spent during the weekend. And then I kind of took a break from it because I'd been working out for a while and worked on other projects, and then came back to this about a year ago and decided to get it published.
Has writing and creative endeavors been a passion of yours for a long time?
Yes, I've always liked to write. Even when I was, you know, in grammar school, I liked to write stories and plays, and whenever my family traveled, I kept a travel journal, so that kind of fed into me continuing that as an adult and taking note of things I notice when I'm traveling and observations and good stories, and that kind of led into a lot of what's in the book.
Positano is an area that you have visited more than once, I'm thinking.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And quite a few summers, and even a New Year's Eve.
Really? The story has the outline of two best friends, Kit and Bridget. Share what you have crafted for them in the storyline. How did they get together? How did they become best friends? Is this sort of autobiographical in its nature, in a fictional way?
It is. It is to a certain extent very autobiographical, with a bunch of made up things added into the mix. But Kit and Bridget have been friends since high school, and they're both teachers and not married, in kind of that category of not married, not dating anybody, have the ability to travel during the summer. And they're both trying to kind of escape different issues that they each have going on, and decide to go to Italy. So, and they'd been a couple summers before and decided that this year they were really going to just submerge themselves and the culture of Positano and try to live there like locals. Didn't go quite according to plan, though.
Your story, if you were to describe the ideal reader of your tale, who would that be?
I would say females, or anywhere from 20s to 70s. I know it's kind of a broad range, but I've had people of all those different ages read it and give me really good feedback. So I think it's a story that women of all ages can kind of resonate with. And if you like to travel too, I mean, and you love Italy and you've been to Positano, it kind of brings you back right into the little town.
Any guys read your book and given feedback yet?
I actually have had a few. They've found it kind of entertaining. I mean, maybe they're seeing it from a girl's perspective, so maybe that's a little interesting. I'm sure it's not naturally something they would pick up to read
right.
of their book choice, but I've actually gotten some good feedback from the few men that I know that have read it.
So in the
which is nice.
In the storyline itself, no car chases or violence. That's obvious.
No, there's no violence. There are a few mopeds, Vespas.
Well,
but,
that could be exciting.
Nothing nothing crazy in the sense of car chases.
Which of the scenes do you think is one that you enjoyed writing the most and sharing with an audience?
Oh, my goodness. There's a scene where the characters are taking a boat trip and they're in the Blue Grotto, and that's kind of fun. There's just a lot of, funny things that happen, and I enjoyed kind of coming up with the ending. I don't want to give too much away about the ending, but it definitely takes, there are quite a few unexpected twists and turns in the storyline, so I think readers will be a little bit surprised when they read that and enjoy it and wonder about the characters and wonder what's going to happen to them next.
You've mentioned that you are a creative by nature and a person who has a passion for writing. Is this left open-ended, perhaps, so that you can continue their story, or are you working on another project?
When I wrote the story, I didn't intend to do a sequel, but the way it ended up really kind of left it open. I could do one. I haven't been working on that right now. I've been working on kind of a creative memoir type story about dating and dating in your 30s. So that's what I've been working on right now.
That's what you're working
but
on.
I could definitely come back to Positano.
And are you planning, just on a personal level, returning to Italy for more R&R?
Absolutely. But it wouldn't be until my next summer vacation.
Right.
This is a while away.
And is Positano also on that list of travel destinations?
Yes, I haven't been in about 4 years. I do miss it, so I'd like to go back.
You have described Positano as a village or city that's built on a hill, and you have titled it Love on the Rocks. Are there double meanings in that title?
Yes, there are. The beach is, it's on the sandy beach, but it's very rocky. And then it's just kind of, I guess, a metaphor for, you know, love gone haywire and the rocks in the town and the town being built into the rocks. And so it just seemed appropriate.
Is there a message that was maybe designed or not designed that popped through when you completed the book? You look back and say, well, there's kind of a moral to this story that I didn't intend to share, or I did, and it actually shows up.
I think there are a couple, but friendship between women, having each other's back, and also about appreciation for other cultures and not only appreciating other cultures, but appreciating the things that you have as well. I think those are some themes that are kind of underlying. And being strong and you know, getting up when you fall down.
Absolutely. This is conversationally driven, this story, then.
Yes, very conversationally.
And
a lot of dialogue.
Yes, and 468 pages, that's a lengthy process for a first. Is this your first novel?
It is my first novel.
First novel. Congratulations on completing it. The title, again, is Love on the Rocks, A Positano Tale by Katie Costa. I'm sorry, I'm wanting to say Costa because I have a neighbor, and I refer to him by A. Costa. Your name is Costa, C-O-S-T-A, first name,
yes.
C-A-T-I-E. Katie,
yes.
How do my listeners keep in contact with you? Have you established a fan page anywhere, or do they just...
I do. I have... There's a fan page on Positano, sorry, on Facebook. If you type in facebook.com/Positano Tale, and then I have a website. It's www.positanotale.com.
Fabulous. And Positano is spelled P-O-S-I-T-A-N-O. And tail is like not the attachment to a dog or cat. It's T-A-L-E. Right. Now, how can they get a copy of your book?
It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Lulu.com, and hopefully to be in books, physically in bookstores. But right now the best bet is to buy it online.
Well, best of luck with this book, Love on the Rocks, A Positano Tale, and also on your future endeavors. We hope to hear from you again and are anxious to see how your writing career progresses. I know your teaching and education career is very important to you, and that takes a lot of your time, but we love hearing about your progress. Thank you again for sharing that with us today.
Thank you.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Lulu Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on toginet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
Greetings for Inspiring Voices, a division of Guidepost. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled... Really, God? Bangladesh? A Nurse's Spiritual Journey. And joining me from the Detroit, Michigan area in the United States is Vicki Augustiniak, who is a registered nurse. Thank you, and thank you for joining me today.
Hello, Jay. Nice to talk to you this afternoon.
A pleasure visiting with you. One of the basic questions, and I have a general knowledge of Bangladesh, but not an in-depth knowledge. Many of my listeners will wonder or perhaps be confused about where in the world Bangladesh is. And if you want to share that, let's start there. Where is Bangladesh, and what is the population?
Bangladesh is not far from India, and it was a population of Bangladesh used to be part of India at one time, then part of Pakistan, and then during the 70s, a war broke out, and it split to its own independent country. If you remember, in the 70s, George Harrison did a concert for Bangladesh.
Right.
And that was it's one of the poorest areas in the world.
Mm.
Population is very large, very crowded, very congested.
It's very similar to India. In fact, they're basically cousins in some ways, I guess, from cultural perspective. How did you get involved with Bangladesh, and what in the world is your book detailing?
I always, I'm a nurse, and I've been a nurse for a long time. Always wanted to do a medical mission or go overseas. I was very practical as a nurse. I said, what are you going to do if you go to another country? Blood pressure is the local people can do that. So I looked for a physician to go with, and I was very blessed to hook up with a Korean doctor who was going to Bangladesh, and when he asked me to go, I didn't even know where Bangladesh was at the time.
And the journey that you took, you went as to do some mission work in a medical perspective. What did you find when you arrived on the shores of Bangladesh?
I was very overwhelmed to get to Bangladesh. Is a long journey. We go from Tokyo, the first trip through Thailand, and then we arrived in Dhaka, Bangladesh. Very congested, very chaotic. The traffic was unbelievable. People all over the place. At that time, squatters living in the city, and I was extremely overwhelmed by seeing, cars and goats and, cattle and just people all over the place.
Did you also find a hospital of good reputation in the area?
Not at that time. We went from Dhaka. We got on a plane and a van, and then went to the really remote areas of Bangladesh. We travel about 8 hours from the capital up into the northeast part of the country.
And the type of medical care you were able to give, how extensive was it? How in-depth was it? Basic care, or how would you describe it?
The doctor I go with is an OBGYN doctor. And the first trip, we went with two doctors. One was a hand surgeon, and the other one was the OBGYN. In the area we go, there is a lot of prolapsed uteruses of the women there. And so the OBGYN doctor repairs those, and the hand surgeon did a lot of burns and helped people with their hand injuries.
How were they able to do the medical care in a country that does not have typical medical facilities?
We bring our medicines and our surgical supplies. We carry them. We've had anesthesiologists go with us who do IV sedation so that they don't feel what the doctor is doing. I have made 6 trips to Bangladesh. As the trips have progressed, we're able to do a little bit more and take a little bit more and have more doctors, sometimes residents and stuff that will go with us.
You have titled the book, Really God, Bangladesh. So there was a question in your mind. How did you begin the initial curiosity about doing something in this arena?
I've always had that desire from the time I was a little girl. I felt that I would do something overseas. Actually, I thought that I would go to Africa, and just never presented itself. So when doctor said he was willing to take me, I was willing to go.
This was in 2003 that you made the journey, correct?
Correct, the first journey.
The first journey is 2003. Your book, would you describe it as a diary of your trip, or how would you describe it? What was the impetus for putting it into print?
I would describe it as a diary. When I started the journey, you know how when you go over, do something, and you try to tell somebody about your experience, sometimes they don't really get what you've done, or you forget things? So my thought was that my husband did not make that trip with me, and that I needed him to understand what I would go through and my feelings, and so I started writing a diary as we went. During that process, I continued writing the diary, and later on, my husband actually went to Bangladesh three times with me.
Amazing. Vicki, how long did it take to get this into a form that you felt comfortable with sharing to the world, or sharing with the world?
About 2 years.
2 years. And of the stories that you recount in your book, what do you feel is the most startling, eye-opening, or inspirational that you have shared?
There's two stories that I feel are the most startling and most inspirational. Number one, I did make two trips to the Philippines. And we did medical care. We did 80 surgeries in 5 days.
Amazing.
And worked very intensely. There was a young boy, about 3 years old, that had, I'm using medical terms, he had a colostomy that was going to be revised, and ended up, as we were doing that surgery, the surgeon did one little final look at his bowel and found a worm.
Oh.
And then took the worm out, a live worm, and actually repaired that. And that little boy died shortly that evening. That was very, very hard for all of us that worked on that surgery. I was in the operating room I was in the operating room when that boy was having surgery. And so that was very impactful for me. The second story is on our third trip to Bangladesh, my husband's first trip going with me. On the way out of the country, we were about 2 hours outside of the country, and we were hit head-on by a truck. And I was in the van that occurred. One of the nurses, a 72-year-old retired nurse, slid off the seat and fell into the other seat and had a displaced hip, and ended up, we got to see firsthand the care of medical care in Bangladesh. We were treated extremely well, but it took us another 6 to 7 hours to get us to a major hospital in Dhaka to have treatment. That was a very overwhelming story, too.
What do you think the reader is going to take away from this? Is there a moral or an underlying theme that you wanted to share?
The thing that I, you know, or the moral that I wanted to share was that anybody can, you know, make little changes, can get out of their comfort zone, because this is not what I thought, you know, I would be doing, and make changes. Sometimes my friends have said to me, well, I can never do that. Well, then I tell them, well, find people that can do that and support them and help. You know, I have my friends giving me eyeglasses when I've gone to South Africa, or giving me medicines. Those little things do make a difference to the people in third world countries. They look forward to people that are able to come. They look forward to us being there. They're very happy when we're there.
You have mentioned to me also that the proceeds from this book, actually the profits, are being reinvested. Share with my listeners a little of that story.
When I was writing the book, and because of being in Bangladesh many times, I do not intend to take any profit from the book. And anytime people give me money, I reroute it back into the mission and the school and the agricultural school. And hopefully, our intention was to build a hospital in Bangladesh. And they have, the local people have built the hospital. Now it's to maintain the hospital.
Beautiful. The title of the book, again, is Really God, Bangladesh, A Nurse's Spiritual Journey. So in addition to the practical side of what you are sharing in here, it also impacted you on a spiritual level, correct?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Wonderful.
On my first trip to Bangladesh, when we were on the roads driving for miles and miles and miles, I started looking out the windows, and I started seeing the people. And other than the cars, you know, a lot of it, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is like the time of Christ, you know, with people, the way they're dressed and, you know, no modern machinery and rice fields and the agriculture. And I really was profoundly spiritually touched at that trip.
This is a wonderful book, inspirational in its content, 224 pages of descriptives of your journey, not only as a spiritual journey, but also your practical side of working in the trenches in the medical profession in Bangladesh. The title again is Really God, Bangladesh, A Nurse's Spiritual Journey. My guest has been Vicki Augustiniak. Thank you for joining me today. Is there some place that we can get a copy of this book and find out a little bit more about what you're up to?
You can get a copy through Inspiring Voices, Guidepost copy, and also on Barnes & Noble and Facebook, I think, too. I have a Facebook website, so if you go to the title, there is copies on Facebook.
Excellent. They can do a search under your name, and I will spell your last name because it is a little challenging. Actually, the first name, too, is Vicki with an I, no E, and a last name Augustiniak, A-U-G-U-S-T, like August, I-N-I-A-K. Thank you for joining me today, Vicki.
You're very welcome, and you have a very blessed and a good day.
Thank you so much. Best of luck with this book, and hopefully we'll get lots and lots of listeners who will buy the book and help support the mission in Bangladesh. Thank you again for joining me.
Thank you so much, and have, again, a very good day.
Fine. For Indie Book Publishing, Inspiring Voices, Division of Guidepost, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you ever wonder if you're the only woman who runs errands in her yoga pants so it will look like she went to the gym? Or how about the only mom who feeds her kids raw cookie dough? Or are you the only one who cooks her family cold cereal for dinner? Do you need more laughter and less loudness? More self-love and less self-loathing? More joy and less judgment? You're not alone. Come to the living room. A place where we get comfy, candid, and confident together. Come seeking sanctuary and leave feeling renewed. We're saving a seat for you. Give yourself some living room today.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
The title of the book, Friesland, A New Beginning. And the author is Huda Ayaz, and Huda joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. Welcome, Huda.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity to talk about my book.
Well, it's a real pleasure, Huda. You're 12 years old right now, but you were 9 when you wrote this book, Friesland, A New Beginning. It's part of a 4-book series. And we're going to talk more about Samantha Ringle, the main character, and all of her challenges in trying to save Friesland. How would you sum up this storyline of your book?
My book is a fiction fantasy novel for children about a girl named Samantha who goes to a secret planet called Friesland to save the Friesians, the citizens of Friesland, who live there from an evil man who is trying to make the planet dark and evil. Six earlier champions have failed, and now it is Samantha's turn to save the Friesians from utter doom.
Well, that's a great summation. Thank you. Now, when this idea came to you, how did this all happen? How did you suddenly become a writer at the, you know, old age of 9 years?
Well, this book came from a dream I had about a land of snow where it was bright and happy. But then there was a dark shadow that came over the land and made it dark and made all the fairies there sad. I told my family about this dream the next day and thought of my love for writing and reading, and I decided to write the book about it. At first, I was hesitant because not many people my age have written a book. But after all the encouragement I got from my friends and family, I finally gathered up the courage to write the book.
Where did you first come up with this main character, Samantha? Who is she?
Samantha is the main character of the story. She loves snow and she loves winter. She loves everything about winter. She's extraordinary. She's an extraordinary fourth grader.
And she makes a new friend. Now tell us about her friend, extraordinary friend.
She meets a snowflake fairy named Rebecca, who's from Friesland. And Rebecca comes to Samantha to tell her about how Friesland is in trouble, and she goes there to save it from the evil Nishagar, who's trying to make Friesland dark and evil. And if they don't save Friesland, then Nishagar is going to make Friesland dark and evil forever. And after Friesland, they're going to make, then Nishagar is going to take over Earth. So she wants to help all of them.
So this evil antagonist, his name is Ronnie. How did he come up with such a wild name and become so evil?
Oh, because his whole entire family is supposed to be like an evil family. His family's goal to make Friesland and Earth all dark and evil. So I came up with the name Nishagar because in the book it says it means evil soul, but it actually, I actually just took random words and added random letters and took away letters and made the word Nishagar.
So you just created a new word, new name.
Yeah.
And of course, he's got lots of servants, whole army of them. And what's their name?
They're called Ninstings.
I guess another word you created.
Yeah.
Ninstings, and they're all dark and evil and malicious. And they've got the same blood and mind as him.
Yes. Nishagar created them from his own blood and his wand into acting as cruel and evil as he was.
So basically, they're just a miserable bunch, and they want everybody else to be miserable.
Yeah.
This once bright and happy place called Friesland, a land of snow, how does Nishagar get control and turn Friesland into such a dark and dreary place?
At first, Friesland was protected by Santa Claus, but then he died in a tragic accident after he went into a chimney that had fire lit in it. So after that, Nishagar found the opportunity to go to Friesland and make it all evil and dark.
Yes, it's not good to go down a chimney when there's a fire in it. That's not a good thing to do. Poor Santa, but she is going to come and rescue Friesland. And of course, again, this is first book, A New Beginning. Obviously, the beginning of this story that takes four books to really explain. And you've gotten, two more books already written?
Yeah, I completed my second book in fifth grade, and I completed my third book in sixth grade. And now I'm going to seventh grade, and my fourth book is almost complete.
Well, congratulations. That's an amazing accomplishment for anyone, and especially at your young age now.
Thank you.
There are others who have tried to rescue Friesland. What happened?
There were six other champions who failed. Their names were Matilda, Max, Alexa, Brian, Liliana, and Anthony. Well, in the book, they don't tell what happens, but I might make a prequel to tell about what happened to the earlier champions.
Kind of the same track as Star Wars. We have to go back and find out what happened to bring us to this point in the stories. George Lucas, you're right out of the same mold. This incredible journey by Samantha, is she doing this on her own, or does she have some close friends that are helping her?
Actually, she goes to Friesland with Rebecca. In the first book, she's alone, but in the future book, she goes with other champions.
So in the first book, they conquer the evil Ninstrager.
I don't want to ruin the story.
Okay, very good. So we'll leave that to the reader to find out.
Yes.
Now, you're an amazing family. You have two other sisters who are authors as well, published authors.
Yeah, my older sister, Sadaf Ayaz, has published Crossing Red Lights in ninth grade. And my younger sister, Maliha Ayaz, has written The Heart of Time.
Were they an inspiration to you?
I was the first one to start writing, but my older sister always wrote short stories, and she would read them to the family. And that inspired me and my younger sister to start writing short stories, too.
So the moral of the story, or the message that you'd like to leave with readers?
The moral of my story is that when you think positively, you make the environment happy and bright. But when you think negatively, you make the environment sad and dark. I'm also hoping that by seeing what I have done, other children would like to do some great things too.
Where do we get your book? What's the best way?
My book is on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. If you just type up my name, Huda Ayaz, or the book, Friesland New Beginning, then you'll find all the information online.
And we will spell that for everyone. Huda, H-U-D-A, and Ayaz, A-Y-A-Z. You're also on YouTube.
Yes. I've done two videos myself, and I have one video for my book.
When will your second book come out?
My second book is going to come out next week, and my third book is going to come out next month.
And give us those titles.
My second book's name is Friesland, Good or Evil. And my third book is Friesland, Myrtletail Confusion.
Well, again, Huda, you're an amazing young lady, and we salute you for all your accomplishments.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for joining us here on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you for inviting me here.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.